Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be taking a deep dive into Tech Capital Portfolio Company Guidant. We're going to be looking at everything that's happened so far this year. We're going to be looking at what the future holds for the company. And to do that, we're very kindly joined once more by Guidant CEO, Harold Braun. Harold, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. It's a pleasure as usual, right?
Yes. We spoke earlier on this year, Harold, and it was a very insightful podcast. Thank you very much for that installment. And we're looking forward to catching up on everything that's been happening since. Now, before we get into it, please would you be able to give us an introduction, first of all, to yourself and to Guidant, for those that may not be aware of the company, please.
Yes, fantastic. Yes, I will do that. Thank you very much, Jonathan. Yeah, my name is Harold Braun. I'm originally from Germany, and I'm also an American citizen. I was president and CEO of Siemens Communication in the U.S., and that leaded also to my, professional career. All my career was into telecommunication business. For me, everything is connected. And when Siemens decided to go with Nokia Networks together, I decided to leave the company and founded my own company, which was a combination of Harris in Florida and Stratex in Silicon Valley. I brought these companies together, was the CEO, president and CEO of this company, brought them to NASDAQ did rebranded to Aviat Networks. They are still in NASDAQ. The ticker symbol is AVNW, and they are specialized in mobile backhaul business. I have been around 40 plus years in the telecommunication industry and have been on several boards and be on several boards on a global basis in public and private companies. I had a desire to work on some areas which are connected, as I mentioned before, but was not really in focus and of the industry a couple of years ago. And I wanted to actually change that and were looking into industry segments, which industry segments should be connected but are not really connected at that point in time or in the past. And I came across the automotive industry, where I think we need to do something because of the increasing traffic in urban areas and, of course, also addressing improvements in public transportation and transportation in general. And of course, with that, do also something about sustainability of transportation and do the environmentally friendly alternatives. And so I came to the conclusion it would be great to focus not only on EVs, on electric vehicles, also on autonomous vehicles and connect them. And with that, make sure that these are is a safe transportation vehicle to use. Because in the public, it's still the impression on many people, most of the people actually did never drive an autonomous vehicle or were a part of it, but the impression in the public is that autonomous vehicles are not safe. So for me, it was clear I want to focus on safety of autonomous vehicles and make them safer. And that's what we did with Guidant. We formed Guidant 2019. And since then, we are on a very good path together with customers and our strategic partners to make autonomous vehicles safer. So that's how everything started in 2019. And that's when we built Guidant.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So as I said at the beginning, we spoke earlier on this year, Harold. And, you know, I think we were talking about having a podcast probably a little bit sooner than we're recording now. And one of the reasons for that is you've been very busy. One of those trips, I understand, to be taking up some of your time was to Europe last month.
Yes.
Now, investors are understandably very excited about the commercialization of your autonomous vehicle safety technology. So it would be good to hear a little bit about that trip, what's been happening, who you were speaking to, what the feedback's been, and you know, what the main takeaways were for that.
Yes, we can do that. The main reason for the business trip, of course, was to visit customers and strategic partners. While I was in Estonia, Germany, Portugal, I had the chance to talk also to related businesses and their C-levels to get a different perspective on the EVs and talked also to related industries. But the focus was, of course, to talk to customers and strategic partners. Those discussions went very, very well and advanced also some business opportunity further with dealer operation requirements. As the listeners might know, our business is software, which we put on top of the autonomous vehicle software stack in an autonomous vehicle. And that software stack, what we develop, is mainly for teleoperation functionality, meaning that we all the time monitor autonomous vehicles in case they are in trouble, that we can take over actually the vehicle and get it out of harm's way, get it back on path, or have other opportunities to work with that vehicle in real time, remotely. So the discussions then in Europe were, as I mentioned, mainly with customers and partners. The first stop was in Estonia with our strategic partner Ovitech. And Ovitech has a vehicle here actually in the US. We imported it. I call it Mika. It is a level 4 vehicle. So that means it has 8 seats. It has no steering wheel. It has no pedals. So it's fully level 4 autonomous. And we have that vehicle actually here in the headquarter in the US, and we demonstrated it. So in Estonia, the discussions, of course, were about the vehicle, about the sales pipeline, and about further enhancements in R&D. That, of course, was very fruitful to talk to the chairman, to the board members, to the owner, to the executive team. So a three-day full program with the team, but then also discussions with the customers. And one particular customer is in Finland. We had a visit and we had discussions with them, which led that we received this week, 2 days ago, an RFP. And the RFP, the request for proposal, is with tail operation requirements. And of course, you can imagine in our discussion with the customer, it was all about what Guidon is doing and what tail operation requirements do we have and what are we doing. And we are very glad that they include us into the RFP together with our partner, Ovitech, right? So now we need to work on that RFP, of course. And so that was very, very fruitful in two regards. First of all, the customer interactions, not only that customer, also others, and then also on the technology side, since we had many demonstrations done with Ovitech over the last couple of months. We imported that's the first vehicle which we imported here in the US. And that came in March, the end of March. And since then, we have done the fully integration and we have done numerous presentations of that vehicle. And I think you shared also a link, Jonathan, where we demonstrated together with our customer, Jacksonville Transportation Authority, this vehicle at the National Autonomous Vehicle Day, May 31st. And, you know, since we have it here in the US, we're doing a lot of customer interactions with them. So it's going very well. Then I continued directly after that to Portugal and worked with our partners there, talked to possible customers there, and also worked very, very detailed through the sales pipeline we created together with our partner in Portugal. And by the way, that will be announced very soon. I cannot mention the name. It's a big name. Everybody in the world knows that name. And I'm working right now on an MOU, letter of intent, with that partner. And since it's a big company, it takes a little while. But we have already created a sales pipeline and also a common value proposition. So what we then present to the customers, potential customers. And there's one very interesting opportunity, which is the number one in the sales pipeline. It's a well advanced, and that is a customer in Poland, which want to have also a more safety net, so to say, and have a human in the loop while they are moving vehicles from A to B to C. And so very interesting opportunities there. We talk to them and we talk to other people in Portugal. Then in Germany, I had more discussions with C-levels of the automotive industry, and to see where the biggest brands in Europe or in Germany in particular stand with their enhancements of the and the deployments of electric vehicles. That was very interesting, but I was of course focusing on the ADS systems, the advanced systems to make driving safer. And that was interesting to see what their directions and their thinking process is. And you might have seen also in the past that you know, Volkswagen did make an arrangement with Rivian, and that had of course reasons because of the software development. Most German companies have some challenges to implement software functionalities into their cars, and that was for me very apparent again in my discussions with them. Was a little bit shocking on one side. On the other side, they recognize it at least, right, that they need to do something there. So, and the last part I would say of the visit was, when you talk to several partners and players in the industry, you get, of course, a valuable input of that, how they do things, which, of course, on the other side, initiate innovative ideas and use cases, which definitely did happen during that visit. And when I came back and had a debrief with my team, we discussed a couple of enhancements in our R&D roadmap here, which we could do, or had an idea while I was talking to the industry leaders in Europe. So, three different areas, long answer to a short question, right? When you put it into buckets, customers, number one, strategic partners, number two, and then R&D enhancements, number three, all of which in 2 weeks of traveling back and forth, a crazy schedule, every day somewhere else, every day something else, was very, very positive, with lots and lots of actions to follow up on.
Yes, it sounds very fruitful, Harold, and yes, certainly looking forward to seeing some of those announcements when they come out. And you mentioned there one of your partners, Ovitech, you've imported one of the vehicles or a number of vehicles over to the United States, and yes, I know there was a video of those particular vehicles at the event, and also one of the biggest events for Guidance so far this year, which was the launch of your new RMCC, Remote Monitoring and Control Center in Boca Raton. So it'd be good to get a little bit more information about that, Harold. You know, is that fully up and running now? Are their vehicles operational? What does that look like? How are things moving there?
Oh, thank you very much for the question. That's very important. Of course, we had several RMCCs, Remote Monitoring and Control Center, a smaller size, here in Boca Raton at our first office, right? We still have that. That was more for demo purposes. Then we had another one at our customer in Jacksonville, Jacksonville Transportation Authority. We have another one created at the Perone Robotics headquarters in Charlottesville, Virginia. And of course, now we have our main, I say all the time, NASA style, right? RMCC, when you see it, is fantastic. And you see it also in the videos, we have that fully operational. Not, it's not only fully operational, it has also autonomous vehicles now in monitoring status and in control status. So I mentioned earlier that we got the MICA vehicle from OVTEC in the beginning, or the end of March this year. And we did an absolutely fantastic job, the team, to get it as soon as possible fully integrated with our software. And it can now be observed and monitored and also controlled by the RMCC here in Boca Raton from in our headquarters. Meaning, in less than 3 months, we were fully operational in demonstrations with the RMCC. So we have this MICA level 4 vehicle connected to the RMCC and demo all the functionalities from the MICA with this with the RMCC. Moreover, on this, that is of course a very significant achievement. But even better than this was, we did at the Jacksonville Transportation Authority on National Autonomous Vehicle Day, the week before, a test with the RMCC and the MICA vehicle at the test and learn facilities in Jacksonville. And this test went fantastic. We passed every single test with flying colors. It was fantastic. And then I did discuss with the CEO, by the way, today is another discussion with the CEO of Beep. Made sure that after the National Vehicle Day in the first week of June, we bring the vehicle, the MICA, over to the Suntrax test center in Orlando. And Beep would take then from June 10th on another week with their team and our team testing at this facilities, Suntrax facilities. A very, very well-prepared tests from them, very intensive interactions. And today I will discuss the outcome and the findings from this test with Beep together with the CEO. From our point of view, it was absolutely fantastic how we performed and what the feedback was. And we got also verbal agreements already on the test results. So that was the vehicle itself, but also together with the teleoperation possibility. So you can see not only that we do that internally to say, hey, it's now fully operational, we do it also together with our customer, that they give us also a testimony that that thing is working. Yeah. Okay. So the integration is complete. We're pushing it further now. And with other vehicles, of course, we have now integrated four different vehicle types with our RMCC. And the next one will happen with two universities in Michigan and also in New York with the partnership which we announced with Adastec. Remember Adastec, Jonathan, is this company who focus more on buses, right? So
six-seaters
and bigger buses. So we just got yesterday an okay to do the first test in, I think, starting in 10 days, actually, somewhere August 24th or 25th, something like this, in Michigan. So that is then also integrated in a bus. Our software is then also integrated in a bus and we connect it to the RMCC. So several areas going on, and it is live on the on our remote monitoring and control center. On top of that, we might come to that later on, we have also started a program with the R&D team to enhance our UI, our user interface. And yesterday evening, I got the first glimpse of what the team created, and it was absolutely fantastic. And so we are pushing also the user interface for the RMCC now to a next level. And that's now on the R&D roadmap as well. So in several areas, connectivity to an to different platforms, right, of autonomous vehicles. I mentioned four of them. Completed the MICA is on the RMCC, and also the GEM E4 and E6, the E4 from Guidant and the E6 from Perron Robotics. They are live on this center. And of course, in the center in Jacksonville is the that vehicle from our customer in Jacksonville, GTA. So I everything looks fantastic there. Now, of course, we need to put more customers on it, paying customers.
Yes, yes. And I'm sure that's something investors are looking forward to hearing more about as that news is released. You mentioned, Harold, there's four vehicles. And I hazard a guess, my next point here is one that I'm sure people that are following Guidant have some questions about, and that was the Star Robotics surveillance robot.
Yes.
What's happening there? Because, you know, anybody keeping an eye on the company would have seen the videos of it. That was also there at the events you've been holding over at the United States. Now, I understand you're going to be rolling that out in the United States in partnership with Star Robotics. What does that look like? How's that going? What's the feedback from the industry so far on that?
Yes, this is a program which we have with the program lead here. With David is the program manager for this. And that was even faster and, you know, integrated into the RMCC. So this robot is fully functional. It's running around here in the headquarters. It's actually absolutely fantastic. So we got it. We integrated our software. We put everything together. By the way, there were already two visits from our team in Spain with Star Robotics. We integrated our software into the robot. We then also saw that there would be a significant enhancement in the feature which we can bring to it. And we agreed with Star Robotics that we developed that feature and put it into this into the robot, which of course is an enhancement, and that is on the connectivity area, right? So that is about to be done. I think by the end of the month, this is not only fully operational, it is already operational, but it is integrated into that robot. And what we did is we made, of course, several demonstrations with it, and it is accepted by the customers very, very nicely. I'm coming to that in a second. What we did is we have two customers where we made actually proposals to. We have a couple of others in the pipeline, but two of them are already proposed, you know, in terms of quoted, right, what it will cost and so on and so forth. So one of which is actually with our existing customer, JTA, right, Jacksonville Transportation Authority. They wanted to have this in a certain area as a surveillance and an information kind of robot, which would require some development. But then the Boca Raton Innovation Campus, we defined five rounds with them, and then there's an additional round on more inspection, not surveillance, and also inspection functionalities. We quoted this portion. When we showed and when we run the robot here in the headquarters, it's a huge headquarters, right? So it's a huge, huge facility, this Boca Raton Innovation Campus. We did also ask people what they think about that, and everybody was super amazed, and I reported and I did present that to the board of directors and the C-level of the Boca Raton Innovation Campus. It was very well received, and they want to have some of these robots indoor and outdoor capabilities, more indoor, it looks like, into this and their facilities. And it's running around here in the hallways checking things out. And when we ask people about whether they feel observed or whether they feel uncomfortable with that, it was the opposite. It was the opposite. Yesterday, by the way, I went outside to the cafe to pick up my sandwich. And then I was asked by two people, Mr. Brown, where's the robot? So I said, the robot gets an upgrade. Yeah. So it has a connectivity. So it's going well. Every opportunity we have, and on Friday we have the city of West Palm Beach coming. Every opportunity we have, of course, we show this, and people directly relate to this as, oh, it could do inspections, but it can also, do the surveillance of certain areas, which we didn't do before. They directly get an idea about what that thing could do. Yeah. So I'm very amazed about this, and it is fully functional and fully demonstrable, if this is a word.
Great. Fantastic, Harold. So the next question that I have here, and it's not really a question, it's a point here where I think it would be good to sort of set the scene for the business, Guidant as a business. Of course, fantastic technology you're rolling out. In terms of what it means for revenue generation for the company, I understand you're employing a SaaS model. It would be good to get an idea about, the breadth of that. Is this something that you're rolling out across all of your relationships that you have with customers? And, what does that look like in terms of revenue generation going forward? Is this something that you see ramping up over time? It'd be good to give listeners some context to the technology that you have, what it actually means to Guidant as a business.
Yes. Every single proposal that we do, whether that is with the RMCC together with an autonomous vehicle or the robot or whatever we do, is based on a software as a service model on monthly recurring revenue. Every single proposal has this concept of monthly recurring revenue that might have, in some cases, a setup fee, right, which would not count to monthly recurring. So it's a one-time setup fee for the software, hardware, and the routes we have to identify where the computer or the robot or the vehicle is supposed to drive, right? And so that's a one-time setup fee. And then from that is a monthly, quarterly, annual recurring revenue theme. Right. So everything we do is a SaaS base on every single product we have. And the momentum is building up. Right. So we're doing quotes, everything what we do in quotes, also on the RFP, everything is tailor operation as a service, surveillance as a service, inspection as a service, this kind of things. It's everything is a SaaS model.
Lovely. Thank you. So, recent announcement from Tech Capital, Harold, you've received, I believe, your second grant
correct,
from Space Florida, obviously in conjunction, a partnership with Novelsat.
Yep.
How's this going to be deployed? What are you working on? What technologies and R&D is this being put towards?
Yes. That was very interesting. So the first Space Florida grant was about connectivity to the geo orbit, to the 36,000 kilometers above ground orbit. We did that. We tested it and put it on our E4 vehicle from GEM, right, with the big antennas and everything. And together with Intelsat and Novelsat, we proven that this is working. That project, Space Florida 1, I call it, the first grant, is totally completed, accepted, and we have proven that we can, for emergency purposes also, where there are areas with no connectivity, that we can connect autonomous vehicles or robots or whatever we have. The purpose was the autonomous vehicle, connect to an orbit, to, in this case, the geo orbit, with the functionality we described in the paper. So that is done, checked mark, accepted, beautiful, done. While we were completing that work, we did also fill out an application with a new innovations with a different orbit. And that orbit is the LEO, the low orbit. So 200 kilometers above ground, not 36,000 kilometers. So in this LEO orbit from 200 to 2,000, right? And you know, there is Starlink and there are other possible vendors that are doing this, was a part of that application. So we filled it out. Together with Novosat, we brought some innovations there so that we can do now connect to multiple orbits, right? And so that was accepted. And we were the number one winner of the grant. There were three others, but we were the number one and got also the majority of the dollars. That was announced about 4 weeks ago when I did the press release, right? And now the specifications are defined by Dr. Castaneda and Dr. Morgan. Both of the gentlemen are writing the application, the specifications right now. And then our project lead, Jaime Ibarra, will then follow through on that project, which is, again, the connectivity with certain functionality to low orbit, to LEO. That is what it is, and that project has started now. The money is already in. It's mostly development work. The antennas and the hardware and the software is not that expensive like the GEO, expenses on hardware. It's not that much on hardware. It's a lot of software development, and that project started. Money is in. Team assigned, and off we go. Specification in progress. By the end of the month, we have that, and then we are going to follow up as a usual, our usual development program on this. We are absolutely delighted that Space Florida thought that we doing really some really, really good work, and therefore they gave us the second grant. You're right.
Perfect. I mean, so far, Harold, I mean, every point that you've made, we could probably do another podcast to go into more detail on each one of those. Yeah. There's an awful lot happening. So I have the question, and I'm sure listeners will have this question as well, about the focus of Guidant. You know, what are you looking at in the immediate future? What are you looking at over the next 12 months? You've, of course, got existing relationships, strategic partnerships there, but you're also going out and you're looking for new opportunities. Where's the focus at the moment? Are you looking at the monetization of existing relationships? Are you really focusing on that? Or are you looking at building out a big portfolio of relationships going forward? How does that look for Guidant going forward?
Yeah, that has several aspects. Our core focus at the moment is, of course, building a customer pipeline, right? And we have a sales funnel, which we review every single week. And this is growing. But with growing of the sales funnel, we have also to focus, because we cannot focus with a small team. We are now, I think, 16 people, and we cannot focus on everything. So we need to make sure that we absolutely focus on the opportunities which are the fastest to close, right? So therefore, I'm particular focused on the sales pipeline, on the customer pipeline. And then also, what are the next step to advance this to closure with customers, right? That is the absolutely number one focus. In parallel, we have discussions with strategic partners. And they are, and I have to say, in the last 2 months, people recognized from our press releases, from that what we do in the market, our chats and our podcasts, and that all what we do, and the announcement from several companies, also engaging with us now and asking about, shouldn't we work together on this or this or the other topic, right? So that means strategic partnerships are not only coming from our initiatives, coming also from partners' initiatives to us, asking about how can we actually do something together. So strategic partners, in particular on the autonomous industry vehicle side, as you know, we are not manufacturing vehicles, right? We need partners to put our put our software into their AV stack. So developing strategic partners is very important in the AV industry, in the robotic industry, and other areas. I think, and I can announce that today already, there is one strategic partnership coming up. This is not the one from Portugal. This is a new one, which I think we can announce with a press release next week. Next week or by the end of the month, we should have another strategic partner announcement. And when you see that, you will say, wow, really? That is something really super innovative. And so that's in the pipeline. The press release is already on my table. I'm working on this right now. This is coming up very soon. So number one, customer pipeline. Number two, strategic partners. Number three, the R&D development programs. We have a roadmap for version 3.1, version 3.1.1, version 4.0 for the next 18 months with very clear milestones and functionalities. And that roadmap, of course, is also very important that we are working on that with new functionalities that we do in time, in budget, and in quality, that we observe that. So customer pipeline number one, strategic partner closure number two, and R&D development programs with new innovative features go to market. And that, of course, will all culminate in a go-to-market strategy, which should help us to create leads and advance our customer pipeline. That's the strategy.
Thank you. Certainly exciting times at the moment, Harold. And, you know, doing a bit of research for this podcast, I was looking at some stats from VC funding, and urban mobility was, I think it was top three. So there's certainly investor dollars around for urban mobility companies such as yourself at the moment. So, you know, the funding and the opportunities there. The question that I had, you know, as you're going out, you're speaking to strategic partners, you're obviously working with authorities such as the one in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. You know, to achieve the traction that you need as a company, of course, you need the willingness of these authorities to adopt autonomous vehicles. You know, how's that going? What's the feedback that you're getting from? Of course, you've had success so far, but as you look to scale this and you speak to more authorities, are they as open as the ones that you're already engaged with?
Yeah, and you cannot believe what the number one reason is for that. Everybody talks about urban mobility. We have to make sure that we get the cars out of the city. We have to make sure that remote people working in remote locations also can get connected to the urban areas to work and to be transported in and out. And so it is in principle the entire concept of transportation services, mobile transportation services. That is very clear from every country I'm talking to or every customer possibility we have or opportunities we have. That comes up all the time. So what is the number one driver for this, right? Of course, one of the drivers I mentioned is that the increasing traffic in urban areas, right? There's an increasing traffic, the parking lots in the city, and the people want to have a different lifestyle now within the cities and get the cars out of the out of the city. Despite the fact that I heard yesterday in Germany that one party wants to get more cars into the city, which I'm not commenting on, but I think this is backwards. This is exactly the opposite what I'm hearing in the industry. So increasing traffic in the urban areas, increasing death from automotive, vehicles, right? Then, of course, the sustainability, the environmental friendliness of this needs to be, addressed. But the number one reason why that comes up all the time is labor shortages. labor shortages because the people don't find any bus drivers, any taxi drivers anymore. They don't want to do this, that, and the other thing, right? Even the railway companies have problems to find drivers, if this is the right word, for the trains, right? So there is a push for there is a labor shortage. There are two bigger cars into the city. They want to get cars out of the city, but they want to transport people. So of course this cries for autonomy. And this cries also for vehicles, which may be smaller, and it goes through the cities in a certain cycle. But on an EV basis, on an AV basis, right, and with autonomy supervised by a human in the loop. So that's what I'm hearing. Labor shortages comes up all the time on the number one, right? And this is for me a very good indication that that's what we are working on is happening.
That's fascinating. That's fascinating how labor shortages as the main drivers. Very, very interesting, because that really plays into the shifts in the workforce that have been predicted by autonomy and AI, of course. So that's very interesting that you're actually hearing that from the people at the forefront of making these decisions.
Yes, and then of course space. And then of course you can imagine space that comes up all the time. Where do we put the vehicles or the cars getting into the city, into urban areas? Where do we put them? Right, they are there. They come in, stand there for 8-10 hours doing nothing, right, and take space away from there. So labor shortages, space, death. All and waiting, right? So you know what that means, right? So that there are, when you go to a city or whatever, that you have this kind of situations, that you are in a queue, right? And you cannot make any advances and standing for hours into a traffic jam.
Of course, yes. I'm sure most drivers' pet hate at the moment is waiting in queues. Anything to fix that, I'm sure, is going to be welcome across the world. So moving on now, Harold, I'd like to discuss about Revive and the regenerative shock absorbers. So I understand there were some very positive updates and tests at the beginning of this year, which were announced to the market. What's been happening since then?
Yeah, so we're driving on the... We did all the testing, right? So we concluded all the testing with this private and independent test authorities and one big company, a tire company in the US. So we have all the results. We have everything what we need to advance or to have a value proposition discussions with possible buyers and or manufacturers. And this is continuing. The last call I had on Friday with one of the companies. This is advancing, and so it's progressing. Is it that fast and I projected and I wanted to see it? No, but it's continuing. We are having discussions and we go into detail. We can now, and that's what I wanted in the beginning, that we have our own data, that we did our own tests, that we verified the test with independent test authority and with a big company interested in this, and that these discussions are continuing. There's nothing in the pipeline where I could say we are close to a deal or something like this, but we are in the running in several industry sectors. We added actually the military sector and also the mining sector and the construction sector.
Perfect. I'm sure we'll be back on the podcast when there's some meaningful developments there, Harold. So when we spoke last time, you alluded to a funding round, private funding round that was ongoing. Is there any news you can share from that at all?
Yeah, I can only share, you know, that we still have the fundraising round going. I have every week one or two, at least one discussion with a possible interested party. This week I had already two, and now it's only Wednesday. And so this is going, let's say there are some parties, I think I would say three of them are interested. We are looking now who would lead actually this fundraising round, so that there are the discussions. So it's going on. There are some interesting parties on the table. Now there is a lead discussion who would lead this round. That's all what I can say.
Yeah. That's positive, and I'm sure listeners can understand the sensitivities around such a funding round, and I'm sure that when there's material information that will be posted and released through the appropriate channels. So to finish off now, what's been a very insightful podcast, Harold, thank you so much for your time. To wrap everything up, for investors listening to this, for people that are interested in the sector, what are the most exciting, the three most exciting things that you should say people should keep an eye out for in the next 12 months from guidance?
Yeah, maybe I have five. Yeah, but maybe
have five. Please do.
Maybe the first three are so first of all, there are some busy months coming up, right? As I mentioned before, the number one topic right now is that we create the customer responses to the RFP. One of which is in Europe, I mentioned Finland, right? So this customer issued the RFP. There's all hands on deck on this at the moment to deliver that RFP response in time and, of course, in quality, right? So that is absolutely number one. Number two, there is the building of partnerships, right? So building further out our strategic partnerships, and I mentioned that I will do a new press release within next week or the week after, but I guess we can do it next week already. And that is a new strategic partnership, and some others are in the pipeline, right? So building our strategic partnerships with the meaning to go to market together with these partners, or they are going to bring us business from these partnerships. That's the goal of this. So that's number two. And then, of course, in the next couple of weeks, in September in particular, we are participating and demonstrating our technology with the MICA, with the Level 4 MICA vehicle from Movitech, and also with the robot at three upcoming industry events, AV Summit, Move America, etc. So there are demonstrations coming up, industry events, where we bring the MICA in and where we bring the robot in and where we have a booth and where we are demonstrating our capabilities. Yeah. So these are the top three near term. Focus, customer focus on RFP responses, one of which is the fastest one in Finland, building up strategic partnerships, mentioned what's coming up, participating and demonstrating in the next three upcoming industry events in September. Then, of course, number four, building our sales funnel, going as a normal procedure. And then, of course, staying in time, in budget, and in quality for our planned R&D milestones that has exciting new features to offer to our customers. That are the top five.
That's great. Thank you so much, Harold. There's a lot there for people to get stuck into. There's a lot to be keeping an eye out for in the coming weeks and months there. So, Harold, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, Jonathan, thank you. As usual, very good interaction. So thank you for setting it up.
And thank you very much to everyone for listening. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember all investment involves risk.